Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is full of death. Death is all around us. And we do not need to go very far to know this. Just turn to the newspapers. Every day in the newspaper, there is this section that is called the obituary. And there you will see the people that has passed on from this world. There is not one day whereby you will see that there is no death. Indeed, death is all around us. And it seems like the people of the world fear death. If you look at history, well, you will find that the people of the world will try many means to avoid death, to stop death, or to postpone death. But try as they might, you will find that death is inevitable. It comes to everyone. Well, you may think that you are the richest man on this earth. You may have the possessions that others can only dream of. And yet, when death knocks at the door, all these possessions cannot extend even 1 second of your life. You may be a king. You may be the prime minister. Yet, death will still come to you. Death, of course, will also come to the pauper, to the beggar that lies on the streets. And you will realize that even with the advancement of medicine, or new ways of operating on the heart, new drugs, but what all these things can do is only to delay the inevitable. So you may think, let me exercise. Oh, if I exercise, if I run daily, if I eat healthy food, cut down on sugar, do the step challenge. Singaporeans are all in for step challenge. And now all kinds of devices that can count the steps are very popular. I take part in step challenge means I can avoid death? No way. Surely there will come one day whereby you will breathe your last breath and you will lie in the grave. And because death has this sense of finality, and so therefore man fears death. Do you fear death, my dear friends? Well, if you fear death, then this passage that we have here in John chapter 11 is for you. For here in this particular passage, we see how death may be conquered. How death may be conquered. And this death can only be conquered through whom? Through none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we have down here is a scene that is very familiar to all of us. It is a scene of a funeral. And in Singapore, we can easily see such scenes of the house of mourning. Especially if you live in the HDB flats, sometimes you will have wakes that will occur in the void decks or in the pavilions. There may be times whereby we walk by these wakes and then we just simply ignore all these happenings that occur at our blocks. But each wake is a reminder that man must die. Yes, that man must die. In fact, that is exactly what we see down here. The very fact that Lazarus is lying in the grave. And our Lord and Jesus Christ says very plainly to the disciples, yeah, if you look at verse 14, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says plainly to the disciples, yes, Lazarus is dead. And so this will be the picture to everyone that is present at the funeral. Death will come to all men. And why must death come to all men? Well, the reason is this. It is because all men are sinners. Well, there may be some down here who think, oh, are you sure all men are sinners? Well, maybe I am good. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, there is no one good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, well, just have this test. Can anyone down here say that you have not lied before? Well, no one. If you raise your hand and say that, well, I've not told a lie before, well, you are telling a lie. Right? So, all have sinned, isn't it? And in fact, the Bible tells us that when we are born sinners. Yes, not only when we are born, but when we are conceived in the womb of our mother, we are already conceived as sinners. Yes, that's what the psalmist says. Well, I'm conceived in sin, conceived in iniquity. And how, and the evidence of this will be, well, even babies can die in the womb of the mothers. So yes, men must die. And so what we have here is this man by the name of Lazarus. He is the brother of Mary and Martha. And this brother and two sisters, well, they were quite close. Right? They were rather close to Jesus Christ. And so he was told to Jesus Christ that Lazarus was sick. But by the time Jesus Christ went down to Bethany, well, Lazarus was already laid in the grave for 4 days. In other words, he was dead for 4 days. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she came to Jesus and said this, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, this is an impossible condition. Why so? Well, because Jesus Christ had already not come. It would be impossible for him to fulfill this condition already. He has already, well, now that he's here, right, Lazarus is already dead for days. But Martha in her grief says, well, if you had been here, I know that it's now impossible, but if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, is that true? Well, in some sense, it can be true. Well, if Jesus wanted to, well, delay and says that, oh, okay, Lazarus, now I heal you from the sickness, you will not die. Well, he could have done that. But we know that Jesus Christ, in his first coming, right, has come to die on the cross of Calvary. And after that, he will be buried. And on the third day, he will rise again from the dead. And after that, he will ascend into heaven. And after that, well, Lazarus will still die. Lazarus will still die. Lazarus will still have to lie in the grave. Moreover, consider how this situation has come to pass. Now, if you look at the beginning of John chapter 11, you will realize that when Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was sick, interestingly, he did not depart immediately. He waited 2 days. Then after that, he departed for Bethany. And what is interesting is this. When you look at Bethany, how far was Bethany away from Jerusalem where Jesus was initially? Right? How far was Bethany away from Jerusalem? The Bible here tells us that Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. 15 furlongs is about 2.8 to 3.2 kilometers. If you talk about the running track, well, that's about 7 rounds or 8 rounds round the track. And that is not very far. If you ask any of our young men that is serving in national service and if they are fit, well, they can tell you they can run the 2.4 kilometers in just a matter of minutes. Maybe 9 minutes, 10 minutes. Or 2.4 kilometers. And that would be 6 rounds. So you just add one more round or two more rounds. And then you have reached Bethany from Jerusalem. And yet, Jesus Christ purposely waited to go to Bethany and purposely came to Bethany when Lazarus was already dead 4 days. And why is that so? Well, according to Jewish tradition, they claim, okay, or they believed in those days. Well, if a person lies in the grave, well, the spirit will hang over the body for 3 days. So for 3 days, you see an inanimate body, but the spirit is actually hanging over. Well, that's what they believe, right? And then, after 3 days, on the fourth day, after the body look at the decomposed state, after the soul look on the decomposed state of the body, well, the soul would then depart. So on the fourth day, if the body does not wake up, well, you can declare the body to be well and truly dead. And Jesus Christ purposely waited for 4 days so that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, well, nobody can say, well, this is not a miracle. Well, otherwise, well, imagine if we come only on the first day or second day when Lazarus was dead and then Lazarus rose from the grave. Or people can say, oh, and Jesus only woke him out of his fainting spell. He fainted, he went into a coma, then after that, oh, he woke up. But no, Jesus purposely wanted to demonstrate that he is the one that had power over death. And so he purposely waited for 4 days before coming to Bethany. And there you have Lazarus lying in the grave. As a message to all who were present, as well to as a reminder to all of us here today, that all men must die. Why must men die? Well, because of sin. And the wages of sins is death. And so now Martha came to Jesus. And Martha told Jesus, well, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know one thing, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, this is a most inadequate statement. Why? Well, if this statement was spoken to anyone who is a prophet or a man of God, well, this could be considered a commendation. Well, this person is a righteous man. If he would pray to God, well, God would hear his prayer and then raise this person from the dead. But who was this person whom Martha was talking to? Like the person to whom Martha was talking to is none other than God himself. Do not forget, Jesus is not only 100% man, but Jesus is also 100% God. The struggles of the people in those days was this. Right? When Jesus was walking upon the earth during his earthly ministry, well, the people often struggled to believe in his deity. Humanity, not a problem. Right? They saw how he hungered. They saw how he can get tired. But with regards to his deity, oh, they struggle. How can this person who looked like a man to us, we see him in the flesh, and yet he is God? Well, they struggled with this. But Jesus, we know, is fully God. And so when Martha says this, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee," it is most insufficient, because this person that is before her is God himself. And her lack of understanding of the situation continues further in verses 23 to 24. Jesus saith unto her, well, to comfort her, "Well, thy brother shall rise again." Then Martha say unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Well, in some sense, this is a commendable statement, because in those days, there were people who did not believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees, for example, they did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the angels. Or they believed that once you die, it is over. Annihilated. But, well, we know from the scriptures that that is not the case, because the Bible tells us that after we die, well, if we do not have our sins forgiven, our sins are not cleansed away, then what will happen will be our soul will be separated from our body, and our soul will be cast into hell. And after that, at the end of times, all those who were in hell, they will be resurrected before the Lord. And then the Lord will judge them, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire, where the fires will burn forever and ever, and they will be eternally separated from God. Yeah, please don't have this concept that when you die, it's all over. That is not the case. You die, there is still judgment that is awaiting you. So the Sadducees did not believe this. But Martha down here, well, she says, "Well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But again, this is an inadequate statement. Why? Because what we have in this statement did not acknowledge that Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. He himself is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that can bring about the resurrection. He is the source of the resurrection, the power behind the resurrection. And that is why Jesus Christ had to correct her lack of appreciation and understanding of the situation. A lack of understanding that here is God standing before her who has power over life and death. And that is why in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am," right? And the focus is on the word I. Christ himself, the one that is standing before you. "I am the resurrection and the life." And take note that it's not just "I am the resurrection." Why? Well, because when Jesus says "I am the resurrection," it's not just the person will be resurrected, and after that he die again, and after that judgment for him. Now that is what Lazarus will soon experience. Now understand that with this particular miracle that is done after Lazarus rose from the dead, after that he will still have to die again. So actually Lazarus, he is quite a privileged person. He get to live, he get to die, he get to live again and then die again. But here what Jesus is referring to is the resurrection that leads to eternal life. Please understand one thing, that with regards to all men in this world, everybody will be resurrected. That's true, everybody will be resurrected. The question would be, which resurrection would that be? Now you can read about these resurrections in Revelation chapter 20. Right, there is one resurrection of which the saints will be given a glorified body, and after that they will live forever with the Lord. But there is another resurrection, the resurrection of those who do not have their sins cleansed, and as mentioned just now, they will need to stand before the throne of God, and at the end of it, the judgment would be this. You will need to go to the lake of fire. And that would, what the Bible says, the second death or eternal death. And so therefore, it's important for Jesus to say, yes, you say that there'll be a resurrection at the last time, but which resurrection? It must firstly be the resurrection unto life. And secondly, please also understand that the person standing before you is the one who will bring about the resurrection unto eternal life, because I am life itself. I am the one who is here to give life, eternal life unto men. I am the one who is here to conquer death, because very soon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he will go to the cross of Calvary. Now please understand that Jesus Christ need not have gone to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins there. The only reason why he went to the cross of Calvary to die is because of God's love for you and me. God does not desire that man should perish, but he desires that man should live. And so because of the love of God, because of Christ's love for us, even though when the people came to catch him at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he could have called legions of angels to come and defend him, yet he willingly and obediently went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins as our substitute, as our sacrifice, taking our place. Now, we should be the ones to have died on the cross of Calvary, but Christ went there to be our representative, to be the one to appease the wrath of God, to fulfill the divine justice of God, as the one who is 100% man, 100% God, and therefore perfectly sinless. He died there, shedding his precious blood, and then was buried. But because he knew no sin, he was perfect, and so therefore sin and death had no power over him. And so how thankful we are that the scriptures tells us that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he is now the firstborn of those who will be resurrected. Resurrected unto what? Resurrected unto eternal life. He is the first to rise again with a glorified body. He is also the firstborn in the sense that he is preeminent. He is supreme over all those who will be resurrected later unto eternal life. He is also the one, because of his work of Calvary, to be the one who will bring about the resurrection of the saints. I am the resurrection and the life. And through me, death shall be conquered. How, therefore, will one be able to avoid death? The Bible here tells us, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, what Jesus Christ is saying down here is this. If a person believes in me, yes, although one day he will breathe his last and lie in the grave. Most of us, that is what will happen, unless you happen to be that very blessed generation whereby the rapture will occur. Otherwise, most of us, that is where we will go. One day, no matter how rich and powerful you are, that is your final destination. But what will happen is this. When your soul is separated from the body, instead of ending up in hell, your soul will now be with God in heaven. You will be saved in the arms of Jesus. And then awaiting the final day whereby all the saints will be resurrected and will be given a glorified body. And the Bible tells us that at the end of times, Jesus, or rather God, will make the new heavens and the new earth. And there we will dwell with God. We will dwell with the Lamb of God forever and ever. And it will be a place where sin can no longer molest. There will no longer be wickedness. There will no longer be corruption. There will no longer be any sorrow. There will no longer be any pain. Death has lost its sting. And that is exactly what will happen to a person when he believes in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Straight away, with regards to his spiritual blindness, well, when man does not know Christ, they are all spiritually blind. The Bible says they are spiritually dead. With regards to his spiritual deadness, well, now God will help him to be able to see. He is no longer spiritually dead. He is now spiritually alive. He is now able to understand spiritual things. When he lies in the grave, no longer will it be the commencement to hell and then to the lake of fire, but in fact, it will be a commencement to life above with God in heaven. And of course, with regards to the second death, the lake of fire, it has no longer any power over the Christian. And therefore, when you look at verse 26, Jesus Christ says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. And this is very, very strong way of expressing this, right, in the Greek, because it is actually a double negative. Shall absolutely never die. Because in Christ Jesus, victory has already been wrought. That is why when you had your responsive reading, and the chairman has purposely read, right, the context earlier, you will realize that when Jesus Christ was about to go to meet his friend Lazarus, he described Lazarus firstly as being asleep. The disciples, being immature, they thought that Jesus Christ was going to wake Lazarus from, oh, he's sleeping. Oh, he's sleeping, then he is okay. But what Jesus Christ meant is this. Is Lazarus dead? Yes, indeed he is dead. And yet, this state of Lazarus is only temporary, because one day this Lazarus will rise again with a glorified body. And you also know where this Lazarus, the soul of Lazarus is. The soul is not in hell, the soul is present with God. Believest thou this? That is the question for us today. Do you fear death? We come back to the question that we had right when we started this particular message. Do you fear death? If you are a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then there is no need for you to fear death, because in Christ Jesus, he has already conquered death. That's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Life belongs to you. God does not want us to die, but to live. But if you have not come to Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, then, my dear friend, you have every reason to fear. Because once your life has ended here upon this earth, you know your destination. Please, please, I plead with you. Do not go away from here without knowing Jesus Christ as your resurrection and your life. Know Him as the one who has power over life and death. Know Him as the one who is also able to give you eternal life. And the way to have eternal life is this, that you repent from your sins and believe that He has come to this earth to live for you, keeping the Ten Commandments for you, all the commandments of God. And then He went to the cross of Calvary to die, was buried, and then on the third day He rose again from the dead. Believe in Him with all your heart, and you shall have this eternal life. You shall never die. And this particular knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ is also very, very comforting, especially to all those who have family, or who have friends, loved ones, who have now died, but in their life before, they have believed in the Lord. They have died in Christ. I believe right now in Calvary Pandan, there is one particular family who is grieving over the loss of a loved one, but we praise the Lord that the one that has departed is a believer. And if you observe the vigil services and funerals of those who have believed in Christ and then after that they lie in the grave, you will realize that it's so different from the rest of the world. Will those who remain behind and know the one who have departed, will they be sad? Of course they will be sad, in the sense that they treasure the memories that they had with this particular person who has now departed. And yet, they do not sorrow as though there is no hope. They know that this particular person who is lying in the grave is just, right, as described in the Bible, as asleep. That one day this particular person will also rise again from the dead. And especially if they are believers, they know that one day they shall also meet with this particular departed one in heaven, beyond the pearly gates. That is what Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, is what is supposed to imply. How comforting, isn't it? How encouraging to the heart, how encouraging to the soul. And so, my dear friends, do you know Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life? If today the question will be posed to you, where will you be if you die? Can you safely say in your heart that I will be in heaven with my Lord and Savior because I have eternal life? I pray that you will have this assurance in your heart. And that assurance can only come if you know Jesus Christ as your resurrection and the life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how we thank Thee for Thy comforting words that You have given to us in Holy Scripture. And how we thank Thee that at the end of this conversation, Mother confessed that she believed that Christ was indeed the Son of God, which should come into the world. And we pray that this would also be the sincere confession of everyone that is down here, that they will truly be found not in the resurrection that leads to eternal death, but the resurrection that leads unto eternal life. And so we pray, O Lord, for those among here who have not believed in Thee, that Thy Spirit may work in their hearts and help them to see the truth, that they may find true peace with Thee. And how we pray that the words found here in the Holy Scripture may also comfort some hearts who may be fearing death, that that they may be assured that in Christ Jesus there is already victory over sin and corruption, over death, the ultimate enemy. And how, Lord, when we pass away from this world, we will be absent from this body, but present with Thee. Oh, how wonderful that will be. So comfort such souls, O Lord. And while we are yet here on this earth, help us to abide in Thee. And while our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tarries, help us to labor fervently and zealously, with constrained by the love of Christ, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, till the time where our journey on this earth is up. And Lord, we truly yearn to meet with Thee, where we will worship Thee and praise Thee forever and ever. So this is a humble cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.